both sounded excited. Thank you, Christy, for that. I said, good morning, Journey Church. Now, we have a lot of great things going on. I love Operation Christmas Child. And could I just offer a PSA, a public service announcement, that I know some of you will be tempted to think that nobody else in the world has hygiene like we do, and will buy soaps and shampoos and all sorts of cleanly products. And also, can I just tell you something? How many of you, when you were a child, opened a box of soap and you were like, yes! Oh man, Irish Spring, my favorite. You know, fill that thing with toys. Come on. Okay, fill that thing with things they're gonna play with. And we're just so, I already see a box over there. I'm excited for that. I love what Operation Christmas Child does, and we get to partner with that. That joy that's going to be spread across the world, that joy that's founded with the love of Jesus. That's the best kind of joy to share. And we do that in a practical way by just sending some gifts all over the world. So please, I encourage you to grab a box and make that happen today. Also, just excited about what's going on with our Wednesday night services. You guys are talking way too much upstairs on Wednesday nights. I mean, we need you quiet so we can do our kids stuff downstairs, okay? What now? I know, the kids are making too much noise too. We're kind of loud down there. I'm sorry, not sorry. It's neat seeing what God's already doing. And we're doing this as a church. And some of you have come to me and said, hey, can we still do a group in our house? Yeah, that's fine. But I wanted to share, this is something we're doing as a church family, together. And it's one of those things, if you've never done it before, I've never done something like this before either. This is a new experience. And maybe some of you will get to know someone you didn't know very well before. Maybe that's already happened. I don't know. But that's what I love about these types of things, is we get together, have some food, some good food. By the way, I think it was Ginger. Both taco soups were amazing. I did my bowl half and half. I did half. Those of you online are like, what's he talking about? I did half and half. I did half the chicken chili, the taco soup, and I did half the regular taco soup. I combined. Fantastic. By the way, I had no idea. What are those called? Zumquats? Or what are they called? Zucchini. Zucchini. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm not a vegetarian, okay? That's right. I did not get my degree in vegetableology, but those were good. I didn't think they were, but I had them, and I really, really liked them. There's something about when you soak it in fat, it just tastes so much better, right? Amen. And just thank you for all those that are helping with that, get the food ready and get it served. Thank you for that. And even the people helping me downstairs, which is mostly my family, thank you guys for doing that. We did blue slime. Thank you, slime. We did blue slime, and those hands were blue, faces were blue, clothes were blue. We just sent the kids home blue, and I just thought that would be a great way to end Wednesday night for them, and the parents were so thankful for that. But God's doing something great. It didn't even dawn on me to report something that helped remind me in the middle of my message. We're going to get there. There's something I want to share with you about our church and what God's doing in our church. We're going to be going through a chapter in Jeremiah today, and I felt like lately the Lord's just telling me to just read the Bible, break down some things as we go through it. We're not going like crazy deep, like Professor Dave isn't coming out this morning, but we're just going to kind of get the gist of a passage and go through that. And we're going to be, if you want to turn ahead of time, we're going to be in Jeremiah 33. Let me ask you something. Are you thankful now for something that you weren't thankful for as a child? Anybody? I mean, anybody, how about this one? Is there anybody thankful that your mom or dad made you eat vegetables as a child? How many of you see the value of that now? I mean, there's something about the nutritional value of a Twinkie that fades over time. Right? And there's something about something that comes up from the ground. At some point you're going, not only is that good for me, but I can actually make that taste kind of good. Man, I love green beans wrapped in bacon. There's just something healthy about that. Both you know, are creatures, and well, one is and one's a plant. And there's something organic about that. And I tell you what, I look back now. Now, there are some things I'm not thankful for. One of them is frozen peas. I am not thankful for frozen peas. I am thankful for fresh peas in the pod. I am all about that. That's some good stuff, some snap peas. Mm-hmm. Man, what are some other things that I just real quick, what are some things that you're thankful for now that you weren't thankful for when you were a kid?
I don't have to eat liver.
What now? What?
I don't have to eat liver.
You don't have to eat liver, okay? All right? For me, it was called tuna surprise, okay? Because it was a surprise every time. What are some other things that you're thankful for now that you weren't thankful for then? What?
Discipline.
Okay. Yeah, you don't really appreciate discipline at the time, but when you grow older and you learn how to respect and honor authority in your life and things like that, because you're always going to have some kind of authority in your life, whether you like it or not. That's something to be thankful for, right? Okay. What are some other things that you're thankful for now that you weren't thankful for at the time?
Going to school.
Going to school, right? Yeah, school is not... It's kind of funny what's happened in my life with that, because I hated school. I barely graduated high school. Hated it. And now I really enjoy learning new things and learning more and more and more. I love that. What are some other things that you're thankful for now that you weren't back then? What?
Going to church.
I was reading 2 days ago an article that someone was writing about the importance of having your kids go to church. And I might have mentioned this study before, but there is enough data out now that's showing that kids that were raised in church, that left the church when they were 18 years old, they graduated, they went off on their own, they stopped attending church, that about the time they're in their 30s, oddly enough, as they're having children of their own, they're coming back to the church. And there's something to be said for, as much as the church gets bashed by people, listen, let's be clear, God loves his church. And it's full of imperfect people, that's right. But there's something to be said for the foundations that we're laying in children's hearts and in youth's hearts, that when they grow older and life starts happening, and they start going, maybe there's something about that church that I grew up in. Maybe there's something there that they offer that I can't find anywhere else. There's something to be said for that. I'm thankful for growing up in church. And I'm grateful for the people that poured into my life and all of that. I'm thankful for that. Anything else, real quick, something you're thankful for now that maybe you weren't back then? What?
Music lessons.
Music lessons? Yes. Yes, there's something about those scales that just got so old and repetitive at the time. But then there's something about when the scales turn into making music and you're going, oh, man, I'm glad I spent the time doing that, right? Sometimes in life we go through things that at the moment we're not necessarily thankful for them. I can remember in a church that I was in, a guy who owned a business, and walking with him through the business failing, having to file for bankruptcy, having his family just rocked by this and what that can do in a marriage and the strain it puts on life and all of that. And in the midst of that, I still saw him thanking God. And now he's doing well. God is blessing him. God is prospering him. And he learned some lessons through maybe why he went through the bankruptcy, and he learned from them. And what maybe wasn't enjoyable at the time, in the future, he was better off for what God brought him through. We're going to pick up in Jeremiah chapter 33. And our word for the day, I feel like I'm like on a kid's show every time I say that. Our word for the day, kids, is toda. Okay, turn to someone next to you and say toda. Toda in Hebrew simply means thank you. Just thank you. Now, this word is connected to a word we talked about 2 weeks ago, yada. These two words are connected. Now, toda is something, and it goes deeper. It could even mean to be greatly thankful for something. Is there anything in your life you're greatly thankful for? And I mean this when I said this last week, but I'm telling you, I am thankful that I have a wife that likes me. Aren't you thankful for a spouse that likes you? Right? Like, you love some of your family, but you won't go on vacation with them. Okay? Like, I like my wife. My wife likes me, and I'm great. You know what? I'm thankful for that. I'm greatly thankful for that. Greatly thankful for this church. It's living your life in a posture of thank you. And I don't know if you've ever had this struggle with kids, but teaching your kids how to say thank you, even if it's something that they may not like, but you know it, for their future, it's going to be good for them. That's why, hey, you're welcome for the vegetables I'm feeding you right now. We're having an issue with potatoes in our house right now. Some like them mashed. Some like them microwaved. Some just cut them up and boil them in chunks, and that's it. But you know what? I'm thankful that my kids are eating potatoes of some kind, because I know that there's stuff in it that's going to be good for them, right? Jeremiah is in a situation that anybody would look at and say, there's no reason to be thankful in that moment. Toda is something that we're going to explore even deeper that I love about giving thanks when things aren't going well. It's easy to give thanks when things are going great. It's easy to cheer for my Seahawks when they're playing well. Boy, are we fickle fans, us Americans, right? I mean, the moment our team starts doing bad, we start criticizing them, the coach, they should have done that call, they should have done this, that, and the other thing. But when they're winning, man, they're great and they're wonderful. And sometimes we can live life that way. When things are going well, man, we're just telling the world how great things are going. We jump on Facebook so everybody knows how great our life is. I mean, have you ever looked at Facebook and gone, is it really that great for them? I can't tell you how many times that I've run into somebody who I've seen them on Facebook and I see one persona on Facebook, but then I actually sit down and talk with them in real life and things aren't going well for them at all. And some of that, they try to project something that's not real. This is not that with Jeremiah. In this instance, Toda is something that's thankful in your heart no matter what. And so now we have Jeremiah in the situation. Israel is in, Jerusalem is in ruins. We're going to start off here in Jeremiah 33. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. He's in jail. Which is a great place to be thankful, is it not? Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Notice again, this is God establishing who he is and who Jeremiah is dealing with. And this is a great way to approach life when you're going through stuff. Is that when you go to God, always be remembering, this is the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth I'm dealing with today. And he sees my issue, my situation, and it pales in comparison to who he is. So right there, if we're focusing on the Lord first, we're already winning. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and the houses of the kings of Judah that were torn down to make defenses against the siege mounds and against the sword. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life where it's going so bad, you're doing everything you possibly can to try and fix it. Or the flood's coming in, that you're doing everything you can. You're selling off everything you can to pay off this, that, and the other to try and keep people at bay, creditors at bay, whatever it may be. And you're doing everything, and that's what's happening with Israel. The enemy's coming in like a flood, and they're throwing everything and the kitchen sink at it. But as we know, imagine tearing down an entire city to try to build up a mound big enough to keep the enemy out. I mean, you're taking all of your favorite things, and using them as a stack to try and keep an enemy out that you cannot stop. And all of their efforts would prove to be futile as the Babylonians came and laid siege to Jerusalem. They're coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with the dead bodies of men who I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath, for I have hidden my face from the city because of all their evil. He's giving Jerusalem its report card, and it's not good. God paints a really dark picture here. I'm going to fill this place with dead bodies. Doesn't sound very hopeful, does it? It's one of those hard things in life that we have to face that, listen, sometimes our choices and our actions have consequences to them that we're going to have to face. And that's what's happening here. Is Jerusalem is having to face the fact that they lived their lives in evil, they disobeyed God over and over and over. And aren't there times where you read the Old Testament and you're like, Israel, why don't you guys get it? All you had to do was obey. And then we go back even further, like Adam and Eve, all you had to do was not eat that fruit. And we're like that fan of the Seahawks that when things aren't going well, you point out all the faults that they did. How about you step onto the field and try it yourself? Right. And so we're looking at Israel, who again has disobeyed God. They weren't worshiping God. They weren't doing a lot of things. We even studied in Daniel how they weren't honoring the Sabbath for how long? Does anybody remember? And God said, hey, here's your punishment, 490 years. And so now you have here Jeremiah looking at Israel, God speaking to Jeremiah. And listen, you're here because of your disobedience. You brought yourself here. I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath, for I have hidden my face from the city because of all their evil. Behold, I will bring it to health and healing. This is what I love about God. God always has a restore button in your life. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how hopeless it gets, there's always a restore button in your life. Now, does that mean it's going to make your circumstance easier? Not necessarily. But you have a God that gives you hope. That, hey, I may fall in this situation, but my God will carry me through. Yes. And so here you have God kind of changing gears here, changing tones. Behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. Man, how many of you want to live your life in that? That I will give you abundance and I will give you security. And he's giving a promise here to Jeremiah. He's reminding him, hey, I'm the God. Hey, all the stuff that you guys followed, all the idols that you worshiped, how's that going for you? Hey, how are those idols still doing for you what you'd hope they do when you made them? And God's just reminding, hey, by the way, I'm the one who brings prosperity and security to your life. That's me. And isn't that a good reminder for us that in our life, listen, whatever we may go through, whatever we may think is the new thing that's going to help us and whatever, that we always need to go back to God and realize that that's where our blessing and prosperity and security comes from. And that's why it's always good to have hope in eternity in our lives, that no matter how bad it gets down here, we have hope in eternity with Jesus. I will cleanse them from all of the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. I'm liking these Bible verses. God just said, hey, you're in this terrible situation because of your sin, but in the midst of that, I am going to bring hope to your future, that I'm going to restore you. I'm going to forgive all your sin. This is sounding like a pretty good deal, isn't it? And there's something about when you deal with God, he will never rip you off. And I don't know if you've had this experience in life where you did a deal with somebody. You thought, man, if I make my plans with this person moving forward, things are going to be great, and it all fell apart. I don't know if that's happened to any of you. It's happened to me. And you look back and you're like, why did I put my hope in that person? I will cleanse them from all their guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive them of all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city shall be a name of joy, a praise, and a glory before all the nations of the earth who shall hear of all the good things that I do for them. Jeremiah is sitting in those ruins. He's sitting in prison. He's looking at a city that's been completely destroyed. And here God is speaking vision over the destruction. God is looking at their situation and saying, yeah, you did this to yourself. But listen, if you put your hope and your trust in me, if you repent, I will forgive you. I'm going to turn this thing around. And I will make this such a beacon of light that the world's going to take notice. It's going to be that incredible. And God has done this before, where God will do things that the world will take notice of. When Solomon builds the temple, people took notice around the world. People started bringing them gifts from all over. That's what happens when you let God build your city. And in your life, whatever it is that you're pursuing, let God be the one who builds it for you. That doesn't mean that you don't do anything, but it means that your focus in your life is going to be, see, Lord, may you take the reins of my life. And I'm going to be obedient to build whatever it is that you are calling me to build. This is going to be your plan. This is going to be your city. We're going to proclaim your name on high, and this is what's happening here. God's reminding them, listen, when you do it the right way, it's going to be worth it. It is a waste, thus says the Lord, in this place of which you say right now, it is a waste without man or beast. In the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man or inhabitant or beast, they completely destroyed. In other words, Babylon killed a lot of people. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing, as they bring thanks offerings to the house of the Lord. What a weird thing to say. Everything is just laid to waste. And here now they're saying, in the midst of all of this, we're going to bring thanks to the Lord. The thanking is coming before the blessing, is what's happening here. That we're going to give thanks, God. Before you've done anything, we're going to give thanks. And then he says this, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. This verse right here is the Todah. This is the posture that where Todah comes important is that it's giving thanks for what hasn't happened yet. It's giving thanks in the midst of all the destruction. And they're giving thanks in that moment, believing that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And that's the posture of a worshiping heart, is that Todah heart that says, listen, I don't see it right now, but I'm going to give thanks for it in this moment. That my heart is going to be postured toward the Lord. Listen, these words of praise, it's all about posturing our heart to the Lord. It's all about refocusing our life to where we understand that when we praise and honor God, blessing comes with that. When we live life with the right focus and the right perspective. And listen, we all have lived a little bit of life, haven't we? And I don't know about you, but have you ever lost some perspective in your life? That you're going through it, and you're going through the grind of it all sometimes. And in that, you're going through the forest rather than going over it and having the perspective of looking at the forest, and you're in the trees of it all, and you're just trying to make it to the next step. And I can tell you as a parent, I have felt that way, where I'm just trying to make it to the next step. Lord, I hope they don't die by the time they're 18. Lord, I hope that as I know that this bill is coming and I haven't tithed yet, oh, come on. Where's the posture of your heart? Where's the praise at? Where's the faith at? And it, believe me, this is where faith meets the road right here, is when it doesn't look good and it doesn't look like it's going well and it doesn't look like that next step is going to work out the way you thought. And in that moment, you're going to step back and say, I'm out of perspective. God, thank you for what you're going to do in my life. What you're doing is you're taking your hands away from the reins of this runaway horse. And you're saying, God, thank you. You can drive now. I don't know how many of you have a backseat driver in your life. Anybody have that blessing in your life? A little helper, right? I love that meme on Facebook. I'm going to get this wrong, where it's like, man, I'm so thankful for my wife. I didn't know I wouldn't be able to break 3 miles away from a deer crossing the road until she came into my life to remind me. And listen, how often do we do that with God? Okay, God, I'm going to let you drive, but I'm going to tell you how you should drive for me. Isn't it true? God, if you would just take that person out of my life, it would be so much easier. And when we give the reins to God, our prayers kind of change. Lord, for whatever reason, you put that person in my life to mold me and shape me to be more like you, with patience and love and lots of forgiveness and whatever. Well, it changes the way you think. How as crazy as this sounds, Lord, I thank you that you put this person in my life. Lord, I thank you that you've put me in this place of what just seems like absolute destruction, because what it's done for me is it's made me look to you. And I know of people, and even in my own life, that you look at the kingdom that you were trying to build and it's all in ruins. And you kind of have two choices in that moment. You can just look at the ruins, and you can just talk about how bad they are, and you can just live in the soot and the rubble for the rest of your life if you wanted to. And you can take every step of your life after that, and it all points back to the destruction. You can't get past it. It's defined your life. Or you can say in that moment, God, it is destroyed. It is awful. You can't paint it pretty. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in your life that you just can't paint pretty no matter how you say it. It's just bad. And here, it's that moment where you either are going to just live in this, and this is going to be your identity for the rest of your life, or in this moment, you're going to say, God, I don't know why, but I'm going to thank you. Because why you brought me here is so that you can get me to a better place in my life. And God, now I'm gonna put you back in the driver's seat, and I'm just gonna let you drive my life. Jeremiah's come to this place, and he just says, give thanks to the Lord of hosts. In his jail cell, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Tota. Reminds me of that verse in 1 Thessalonians. Give thanks in some circumstances. Love that verse. It's the Message Bible. But isn't that how we do live our lives a lot, is give thanks in some circumstances? And we're just reminded of give thanks in all of it, in all of it, in the good and the bad and the ugly and whatever. Give thanks all the time. And here you have Jeremiah giving thanks in all circumstances. And the humanity in this is, listen, don't you think that he would have the right to complain? I mean, how many Bible characters have we looked at over and over and seen what they've gone through? And we're like, oh man, they should be complaining right now. That's what I'd be doing. Listen, I do sometimes get tired of people on Facebook that just air their dirty laundry out there. Look how horrible my life is. Feel sorry for me. And I'm just going, would you just like take your finger, like in the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, would you just take your little fingers off that keyboard or your thumbs and just step back and praise? Like, could that be the first thing that we do? Listen, I get it. Life happens. My wife will tell you that I'm like, I have a hard time thanking the Lord while I'm driving. I have a hard time thanking the Lord for that person that just cut me off. I have a hard time thanking the Lord for that person that's riding my bumper. I have a hard time thanking the Lord for somebody who just merged when they shouldn't have merged. I have a hard time thanking the Lord for that person that ran the red light right in front of me and they broke the law and all this. You know what? And why don't I just step back and worry about my own life? God, thank you that I can drive today. Thank you that I can breathe today. Thank you that I can see today. Thank you that, man, thank you that I have food on my table today. Thank you, God, for a roof over my head. God, thank you for a church family that loves you and loves me, Jesus. God, thank you for a wife that likes me. God, why can't we live our life in thanks? I mean, but so many of us, listen, and I'm guilty of this too at times, it's like the complain-a-thon. I want to tell you guys everything that I just don't think is right with the world. And I don't know if you guys have read the Bible, but it hasn't been right with the world since the beginning. It's been a minute. Like, why are we so shocked here in America when something happens and we're like, oh, that's terrible. And it's been terrible for a long time. Ever since sin entered the world. Like, why do we get shocked about this stuff? Or like in politics, I'm telling you, I mean, we're watching some TV shows and every commercial, every single one is they're bad, horrible. They're bad and awful. They're going to destroy the world. Their middle name is evil. You know, you're just like, should we really be shocked by any of that? This is where being a Christian is so different because our focus, our perspective needs to be on the eternal things. And that is what helps us keep a posture of thanks in our life. Because we have plenty to complain about. I remember when they changed the recipe to Oreos. Like, why, God, would you do that? Why, God, does why is it only at Christmas time that the McRib comes out? Why? My neighbor's annoying. God, I just thank you for my neighbor that reminds me of how desperately I need a savior. It really, this is simple, but it's really hard at the same time. Have you ever noticed that about the Christian life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are such simple words to say. But it's a whole different ballgame playing that out in life. You have Jeremiah who could easily look around and just complain and lay blame. If these Israelites would have just followed you, God, if they would have just done what you told them to do, they would have just obeyed. We wouldn't be here right now. And complain. But here we get Todah. In verse, where are we at here? Verse 11, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. What a strange thing that the world would look at Jeremiah, where he's at, and he's saying, God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Jeremiah, it's not good. It's not good. Look how bad it is. It's not good. And Jeremiah's saying, no, it's good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because he's put me in a place where I am now completely focused on him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste, without man or beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be habitations of shepherds resting their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of Shephelah, and in the cities of Negeb, and in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days, God's promises are always yes and amen. There's something about when you live your life in the posture of thanks that you begin to believe what your Savior is saying to you. When you're in the land of complaining and look how bad, it's hard to focus on the promises of God. But when you're looking at the Lord and who he is and what he has done in your life, it's easy just for him to believe that those flocks are going to flourish again in your life. That those things are going to come back and they're going to be even better. Behold, those days are coming. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. He's talking about Jesus. This coming restoration is coming through Jesus. This forgiveness of sin is coming through Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Jesus will come and he will take his throne. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priest shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to make sacrifices forever. This is significant for Jeremiah at the time, because guess what they weren't allowed to do? Make sacrifices, which was a huge part of their worship. And here's God saying, hey, there's a sacrifice coming that's going to be the sacrifice forever. And the Levitical priest shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to make sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord. And I think we need to be reminded that in your life, thus says the Lord. When God says it, it's good. We can bank on it. How many of you know we live in a world where it's hard to bank on anything? I mean, we live in a world where we have seen companies that we thought would never, ever fail just go completely away. Companies that we thought would be here forever and ever and ever. I was on studying for something else, but I was looking through like 90s businesses in the 90s that aren't here anymore. You know, Sam Goody. Anybody remember just the store? Not Best Buy, but just Best. Anybody remember that store? Pomida. Strewn across small towns all over Montana. You count on that Pomida, that junior Walmart. That's gone. And all these different restaurant chains that are going away, and businesses have come and gone over all the years. And these things that people have invested in that went away completely, and this new drug's gonna be the cure to everything, and oh, if you take the shot, you're gonna be okay, and all these things that the world will tell us, hey, bank on this. And how has that gone in our world over the last few years? And we look at that, and I'll never forget my first church I was ever in. This really great couple, he had worked for a fibercom company his whole career. And they were supposed to be retired, but they couldn't. Because at the time that he retired to draw his retirement, the market just crashed. And he lost all of his investment. So here he is in his mid to late 60s, not knowing what he's going to do. But here they are every Sunday coming to church, and they're raising their hands in praise, and they're just worshiping Jesus, some of the sweetest people you'd ever meet, and you would never know how bad their life off really was, because their identity wasn't wrapped up in that. Their identity was wrapped up in eternity. Things change when your focus changes. Toda, that kind of praise that says thank you before the blessing. That says thank you before it becomes good. That says thank you when the world says you have the right to complain. That's Toda kind of praise. Jesus, at the Last Supper, they were celebrating the Passover. And we know what he does there is he does communion with them. Breaks the bread. They drink from the cup. Toda, when the Israelites would do Toda, it was connected with bread, wine, and the flesh of a lamb. So here's Jesus with his disciples, with bread, the blood, and the flesh of a lamb, saying, do this in remembrance of me, because the promise that's wrapped up in the thanksgiving we're giving right now for the deliverance of God's people is the deliverance you're going to experience in just a moment. So let's give thanks right now. That's what Jesus is doing. Give thanks right now. The blessing's coming. The sacrifice for all in Jeremiah, it's coming. It's here. Give thanks right now. The disciples didn't understand that completely at that moment, did they? But they broke bread and they gave thanks for the salvation of the world that was about to come their way. Giving thanks when it hasn't happened yet. That's Toda. I want us to finish with, I love songs that we're singing that songs of thankfulness, songs of joy. Here's a crazy thing. How about living your life with joy in the midst of crazy? That's why people think Christians are crazy. I mean, you should be this, and you should be panicking, and you should be doing all this stuff. It's all falling apart, and you're just sitting there. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountains high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. And you're sitting there in a dumpster that's on fire, like a 49ers fan, and you're just going. Oh, Rick's not here. And you're just sitting there and you're going, all my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Everything's on fire, mountains high, valley low. Do you not see the destruction around you? I'm gonna sing wherever I go. That's why people think we're crazy. Because our focus is on thanking him and living a life for eternity. That's why. People will look at us, and in the midst of, what is it that you have? Listen, Christianity is tested in the fire. And people will look at your life, and when you're going through it, and they're watching you. And in those moments, does your life speak Toda? Worship team, I'm going to have you come up. And we're going to do a song we've never done before. I'm just kidding. I did that to him once. I haven't. They keep bringing that up. Happened one time, okay? Twice, fine, twice, Deb. Thank you for specifically remembering that number. But let's end with Toda today. Can we do that, church? Can we end with just thanking God and praising God just right now? For maybe that victory or that whatever that hasn't come yet. But listen, our hope, our real victory is in heaven. And let's live that hope out. And just give that toad of praise to God today. Let's do that, church. Hey, would you stand with me? We're going to close with the song that we opened with.
All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. God is for me, He's not against me. Sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go.
Do you have joy?
I got joy, 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 deep in my soul. I will sing, sing, sing.
Church, amen. All my life, I'm going to thank you, Lord. All my life, all my days, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to say thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you're going to do in my life. Amen. Toda, church. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday. Come on, Wednesday. And then we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.
All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever
again.
All my